Question number 23181, Rule 3.
Mr. Jessup, Rule 3. Now, we were talking about when you're at the Bahamas aboard the Baisley, doing the sort of working up and exercises. And we mentioned the abandoned ship. What other exercises did
we'd
you
do? Stayed under gunnery, what's the name? Gunnery practice. And at one particular time, somebody put a shell over the top of Kingston.
How did that happen? Were you on the gun?
I wasn't particularly on the gun, but... They were doing this shoot, like, you know, and for some unknown reason, I really don't know why, but they put a shell over Kingston, and the Kingstonians weren't very pleased, to say the least. I think very much that they were very glad to see the back end of the Baisley.
Did it do any damage, or did it just fly,
No, it just flew straight over more. It didn't do any damage to anybody, but...
Now, what was your role on the ship? What were you going to be? Were you going to be on a gun, or what?
I was, actually, yes. I first off was on bridge communications.
What did that mean?
Well, there was three positions, crow's nest, bridge, and wheelhouse. And you... alternative, you went around that triangle sort of thing.
So tell me what you did on each one.
You had a set of a mic and earphones, and you could get onto any position on the ship. So if somebody gave you an order to pass to B gun or Y gun, you called Y gun and then passed the message on, or what's name, or if you called A gun, whichever you wanted to get hold of, and that was what you were there for. Then of course you took your turn up the crow's nest.
What do you do up there?
Well, you had a pair of binoculars and you just kept lookout, like, you know. And then you kept lookout on side of the bridge.
Now, lookout duty is not quite as simple as it sounds, though. How did you actually do it? I mean, was there a system of...
Well, no, you did a sweep from, say, red 9-0 to green 9-0, and at the same time going up and down and sort of looking for any sign of a periscope or anything like that. That was the main job of the crow's nest man. Yeah, is to, because you got a better chance of, your vision is so much further from the crow's nest than off, say, the bridge. Also, you're looking down onto the sea, and if there was a reasonably close by U-boat, you would see the wash from the periscope a lot easier by looking down onto it than looking straight at it.
So that was another thing you were on. So you're on bridge communications, sometimes you'd be up in the crow's nest. What was the other thing you said you were on?
Bridge lookout.
It was the same thing, only on the bridge.
Yeah.
And that was your first job,
that
really?
That was my first job, yeah.
And that's what you were doing while you were...
Yeah, while we were down there. Yeah.
And were you put on the guns at all at Bermuda, or were you
No.
Now, anything else about your time at Kingston, Bermuda?
Yeah. No, not really. We had a great time because it was lovely and warm, like, but...
Did you get ashore much? What would you do?
We were allowed ashore, yeah, a couple of times, but not very often because Mr. Lieutenant Commander Brock wanted to see some action, I think. That was his main worst aim in life, to see, action. So I honestly think that he pushed things as fast as he could. And perhaps, even to the fact you could even think now, looking back, that things weren't done quite as thoroughly as they should have been on that workup. So we were then sort of told, right, we were going back north. Well, we hadn't, we got, I think it was 1 or 2 days up from, off of, what's name, and one
where,
of the,
sorry,
from Jamaica, going back northward, and we had trouble. We had one of the electrics broke down because they were diesel electric.
I hadn't mentioned that. I should, of course, the electric motors or diesel electric. But what was the problem?
I don't know. There was a major fault with it, so that we couldn't, that our Washington couldn't put right. So we went into Norfolk, Virginia, and I've never known people who could hate the British more than the people of Norfolk, Virginia.
In what way? How did it show itself?
Of course, you know.
Was this the regular?
Anywhere else we'd been, we had been invited out to parties and gatherings and all this sort of thing, you know, all these places we'd been invited to by the American people. But when it came to Norfolk, no way. They didn't want to know. The doors were shut and that's it. I take it it goes back to George III, is it? George III, do you know what your history's like? Not very good. But he fell foul of them in whenever it was, and I presume they'd never forgiven him.
And was this all? I mean, was there any other way than they didn't invite you out? But was there any direct?
We could go around the town and look at and things, but you know, you've got to realise that. I think my wash name, my wages in those days were 7 or 6 a day, a week, which wasn't very much. So there wasn't very much for spending.
And what about, how did you get on with the US Navy people, personnel? Because I've heard...
Oh, there were some great punch-ups in Boston.
Tell us about that. I should have asked you earlier.
Yeah, well, I remember... There used to be a bar there called the Diamond Horseshoe. And, of course, our lads and their lads used to go in. And, of course, I wasn't allowed to drink. Because out there it was 21. Whereas in our country it was, at that time, 18. We used to get in some terrible fights, you know, with the American sailors.
How would it start?
Well, silly chit-chat, really. Somebody would make a pointed remark about the... I tell you what, a lot of it used to be limeys. Do you still take your limeys, you know, your lime there, and all this sort of thing. And, of course, our lads used to stand it for a bit, but of course it did get a bit near to the knuckle, like in the end, and the lads used to pile in. They used to have both British and American shore patrols, like, you know, and we used to get busted back into the barracks, like,
and
you know.
You were in some of these fights.
Well, no, I don't think I ever got sort of actually down to the actual fisticuffs, like, of it. I was on the periphery, like, you know.
And was there any trouble with the sailors in Norfolk? I mean, you had trouble with the civilians, but
no, I can't remember. I don't know of any trouble we had there. I think the fact that the people were so standoffish and so cold towards us. I think, you know, sort of we naturally took on a what's name of took on a role of just being ourselves, like, you know, not getting over intoxicated or anything else, you know. I mean, I certainly couldn't afford to have got intoxicated. a couple of pints and that was my week's money gone, I think.
Now, what about the repairs? Did they take long?
Yeah, we went into the doctor there, and they did it. I forget how long. I don't know, we were there 4 or 5 days, or well, it was a little bit longer. I'm not really sure actually how long we were in Norfolk. I know we were all pretty glad to see the back of it, and that's when we came out there, and then we made a move.
What was that?
We were coming up to Argentia in Newfoundland, and that was where we were to pick up our first convoy.
What happened there then? What do you remember of the first convoy back to?
We had a real assorted, what's name? Real assorted scramble of ships there. Some were about 8 knots and some were about 12 knots. You know, there was a bit of a job trying to get the fastest one to slow down to the what's name. Of course, a lot of the older ones, they made a hell of a lot of smoke. I mean, there was no greater giveaway than smoke, like, you know, and they used to, I mean, our skipper and the other skippers used to be forever lasting on the RT, saying, cut smoke, you know, because they were belching it out, some of them. But that was our first convoy we had.
Now, what about the rolling? When did you first become aware of that? Well, tell me about how. I mean, you must have noticed that going back across the
island. Yeah, we did. I think we noticed that. What's them? They. Have you ever seen a photograph or a picture of one? You have. They have got a very high mast, and it's steel. And the worst part of it was it used to. This is a later story, but I'll just say it now. It used to collect so much ice. When we were on Russian convoy, it used to have to go up there every day and chop it off.
But before that,
if you got a bit of a, it's all right. Wasn't too bad if you're going head into the sea, but if you got a bit of a side swell, by heavens, they could tip, and they used to come back very slowly. I've never known one to go over, but by God, they really did go over with the weight of this, with the mast.
And you definitely thought it was the mast that caused it?
Oh yeah, I think so, but because they were fairly low in the water. I mean, they were fairly sleek. I mean, not. I mean, I could never understand why such a sort of reasonably sleek vessel needed such a tiny mast like that had.
Yeah. What was it like to be in the crow's nest when it was rolling?
Oh, it's funny because one moment you're looking and you're looking up in the sky, like, you know, and the next minute you're looking down in the water. Like. It took a bit of getting used to it.
Did you get seasick at first?
No, I never did. A funny thing, but a lot of them did. When we get further and further on, I'll tell you. Tell you the first night away from Belfast.
Oh, well, we'll come to that soon. Yeah. Anything else about what about what was sort of daily routine like on board the ship for you as a young?
Well, you kept watch. I mean,
explain about the watch. Well, they might not know.
You had your watches to keep. I mean, if you did the morning watch, you did the first dog, and then you did second dog. You had anyway, you had the other watch. So your watches circle, you know, went around in a circle sort of thing and changed. So you started off doing a morning watch, and then the following day you would do the early watch.
And what was your cruising station? What was your action station? Or were they both the same, both on the bridge?
Yeah. When on action station, I was on the bridge. Yeah, definitely, never anywhere else, just the bridge.
And what was your cruising station?
Cruising station, I was on the bridge. I was there just for communications or anything else.
So really. You were always on the bridge, you know.
Yeah.
Now, what was a typical day like for you then?
Typical day, it would depend on on watch you had. If you say had the morning watch, which was 4 to 8 in the morning, you came off at 8 and you'd no doubt go down and have a couple of hours, an hour's sleep. And then you would go on, you'd go out and do work on deck. And you'd clean up, Suji paintwork, and scrub the decks and all this sort of thing. Anything like that. I mean, had we been doing any firing, then we'd no doubt be taking ammunition up from the armoury up to the gun deck and that sort of thing. But, I mean, that was few and far between that.
And what about the food aboard ship?
Food? Well, mainly, I mean, right, this first bit was all fresh food. But later on, it was all dried.
So what would the fresh food be?
We picked up fresh food at Argentia and loaded up with that, and that was enough to bring us home. But after that, then we were getting dehydrated potatoes and cabbage, onions, and all that sort of thing. You never saw very much, what's name? The only time we really ever saw any really fresh food was when we'd be going through and Asdic would pick up a terrific ping and the old man would fire a depth charge. And we'd get plenty of fish, which was about the only time we ever got fresh food. But and then you got plenty of fish. It was fish on the what's name, kedgeree and everything else, like, you know. The skipper, he tried to work out a fairly good menu for the blokes to utilise as much of the food as he could, like, you know, and get as much nourishment out of it. He was very good like that, in that respect. He was the first one who brought kedgeree into the breakfast.
Who prepared the food?
The chefs, the cooks. We had three cooks, and of course then somebody would be no doubt drafted in from the deck crew to do the potatoes or help in there, like, you know, if we had fresh potatoes. But we had fresh potatoes for the first little while out of port, but after that it what's name, and then at night we used to get the old kai.
Can you explain from what that is? Cocoa, isn't it?
No, yes, that's cocoa, KY. That is made out of slab chocolate, or slab cocoa. And that's put on and real boiling water put on it and stirred and stirred and stirred until it all washed down. And somebody sent down from, no doubt from the bridge lookout, or one of the other ones, you'd all go down and there'd be all the fannies down there, and you'd get them filled up with this kai and take it round to the positions, like the gun position, the depth charges and that sort of thing. That was one job.
What about the rum ration? Do you get that?
But rum ration, yes. Well, we got to get the bubbly.
Bubbly? And, what was it called, that?
I don't know. They just called it bubbly. But the old rum, everybody was named it. Everybody used to try and make sure they were working when the rum ration was done. The idea of that was that if you could prove that you were working when the rum ration was came up, you got meters. And that was the whole idea. That, you
what,
know.
What do you mean by that? It was
well, it not diluted with water. It was just pure rum. And that had a fair kick to it, like, you know.
Did you like the rum?
Yeah, I used to look forward to the old, what's the tot of rum?
Now, what was your mess deck like? I haven't actually asked you that. I mean, where, you know.
The mess deck I was on was midships, or just forward of midships. There wasn't all that many on us on our deck. We were with the radio people and there was what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I suppose in our what name, there was about 18, 20 bodies.
So what was it like? Can you describe?
Yeah, sure. That was another great thing with the American ship, was the fact that you had these cold water fountains in every mess. And it was, you know, lovely to have really cold water to drink. Our mess, I suppose, was... about from that wall out there to this wall here.
About 14 feet.
Yeah, 16 feet, no, yeah, something like that. And longer than that, but it was very cramped. You had your lockers underneath the bunks. The bunks all tipped, you know, tilted up, and you just dropped them down at night. Well, they stayed down nearly all the time, actually. And then you had lockers underneath. No, it was very, very, quite cramped. I mean, there was between two lots of bunks, there was no more than 2 foot space between them.
And how did you take the bunks? Would you have preferred hammock? You'd not.
Oh no, I much preferred the bunk.
Had you had a hammock at that stage?
Yes. Oh yes. You all have a hammock, irrespective of where you are, what you are, or anything else, you know, everybody has a hammock, you know, whether you have to use it or not.
Had you actually used a hammock?
Yes, used it in Ganges, in Ganges at one time, and also in Chatham.
But you preferred the...
the bunk. Well, I mean, it's always a bit of a job. I mean, you've got to get exact number of knots or turns on the hammock to be correct, and if somebody comes round and you're carrying it over your shoulder and they're going, dun, 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 hey. You know, especially if you're in Chatham or somewhere like that, because they've got nothing else to do but to walk round and pick people up, like, you know, and that's just one of the things that they will really do, is if you've only got six on the hammock, they'll soon have you up, like, and you'll find yourself doing number 16s or something, or number 11s or something like that, you know, whichever case might be.
So that was the best thing. What about you? How did you get on with your fellow ordinary seamen, or able seamen?
Oh, pretty good, actually. I mean, I had three of them I'd become very friendly with when we were in the States. One came from Liverpool, one came from Walworth, and Fred Shilton. Oh, we come from Surrey, and the four of us used to knock round together.
Was there any bullying on the mess decks?
Yeah, I come to that in the Ganges, actually. We had a fellow out in there. I'm not going to try and think of his name, but I was taking a lot of shrapnel for him, and I really got fed up with it.
What do you mean you were taking a lot of shrapnel from?
Okay, a lot of abuse and what's name? You could realise I was quite young. I'd been brought up in a small village, so you know I hadn't seen an awful lot of the world, and he used to give me stick, like, you know. And this day, I don't know what made me do it. I just turned around and I sloshed him one. And I hit him again, and I hit him again. And he was up against the wall, and he's, no, 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 no. And I thought, well, that at least stopped him. And I never had any trouble with him after that. In fact, he always was forever lasting trying to be friends of mine, like, you know. But
there was none of that on the...
No. And I never, ever saw any of that sort of thing on board ship.
What about the petty officers, the leading seamen and petty officers? How did you get on with them?
I think we had a great crowd of what them. There was only one who could be a what's name, and that's the coxswain, P.O. Coxswain. And he could be a right pain in the...
In what way?
Well, I don't know. He was always looking... He's one of those what's names who look for trouble. You know, he'd always look to be able to pick on you for something. And it wasn't only me. I mean, it wasn't the fact that I was one of the young ones or anything like that. Because he used to pick on, you know, some of the other ones. I mean, we had a couple of rather roughneck ABs, and he picked on one of these one night this day, and he really had picked on him quite a lot. For I don't know what reason, but that night we were out and he happened to be in town as well, and he got a right good duffing up, but he couldn't prove. Everybody would stick by the AV, like, and say, yeah, oh, you're with us. We rode the other side of town, like, you know, but he was, I think, of all the POs and leading hands we had, I would have thought he was the only one that we had in trouble with.
What did you look for in a good PO or leading seaman? What made a good leading
seaman? One who'd help you, you know, as much as you could help him, like, you know, in the wartime. Because I sort of, when I was an OD, I had to go then through to become an AV. So
OS, you mean, ordinary seaman?
Ordinary seaman, yeah, but we used to always call them OD.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, and to become an AB, I had to take certain, what's the name, of, you know, show that I could tie certain knots and I could do the, I could steer the boat, like, you know, what's the name, and also steer the ship itself, like, you know, everything like that, and I had to go through the whole lot, and then you had to sort of pass, like, and I passed and sort of become AB.
That was a bit. Was that, when was that?
That was quite a big turning point actually for me.
When was it though?
When was it? I suppose it must have been about May June in 40. No, be less than that. 44.
So yeah. Decemberish.
Yeah.
So quite a bit later, yeah.
Yeah.